Does anybody know what today is? No one's going to guess it, but today is Holy Wednesday, which means today is the last day I have to wear purple. So I'm happy about that. Soon we get to wear white. It's been a long Lent of purple. Now, who knows what the next 3 days are called? Yep. The Triduum. Who can spell Triduum? Yep. Close. There's two U's. That's the tricky part of it. There's two U's. The next 3 days are the most holiest days of the year, when we celebrate Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection. Out of everything in our faith, what we celebrate over these next 3 days is the very foundation that makes sense to everything that we do. The Mass itself comes from Holy Thursday, of course. By Jesus dying and rising again, we have salvation. This is where the Eucharist and the priesthood comes from in these next 3 days, salvation itself. And so without the events of Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter, none of this would matter. Picture, and I'm not sure what the game is called, so maybe you can help me, but it's where you take the blocks and you kind of like build on each other, kind of like crisscross. What's it called? You can just yell it out. Jenga? Yeah. What happens when you take that bottom one out, the one that's the very foundation? The whole thing falls apart, right? If you take out the events and what we celebrate these next 3 days, our whole faith falls apart. That's why these days are so very special. Now, what we hear in the gospel today, we all know the story of the Last Supper, right? And we know that Judas came to Jesus and betrayed him with the kiss. We know that story, right? What we hear in today's gospel is one of the last events that led up to that, where Judas was tempted with 30 pieces of silver to betray Jesus. Now, one of the common questions is, what went wrong, right? What happened in Judas's life? What happened amongst the disciples that caused him to do this? What was he upset about, you know? And really, I think there's a few things. One is greed. What was his question in the gospel? How much will you give me if I hand him over to you? All the disciples knew that the religious leaders were trying to arrest Jesus, that they were upset with him. And our gospels leading up to today have shown that, where they thought that Jesus was a threat to them. So Judas knew that people were looking for Jesus. And he went and said, how much will you give me? How much can I get? There was greed there because he wanted the money. The second thing that I think was going on with Judas was pride. Think about it. We had some of the Gospels over Lent where they would argue among themselves who was the greatest, right? And then Jesus says the last will be first and the first will be last. Even during the Passion, just on this last Sunday, we were told that they were arguing among themselves about who would be the greatest. So I think pride got to Judas. Here's Jesus, obviously the leader of the group, the one who everybody's flocking to. Out of the disciples, usually it's Peter, James, John that Jesus takes with him as an inner circle, not Judas. And he got caught up with pride. Where do I rank? How much popularity do I have? How much do people look at me? But I think there was even something else, even more problematic with Judas. And that was the fact that he lost his friendship with Jesus. If you look in the Gospel of John during the Bread of Life discourse, that's where Jesus says, I am the bread of life, multiple times. Judas didn't like what Jesus had to say. Some of the disciples fled. In fact, most of them did, except for the inner 12. And so really, scholars will say at that point, that's where Judas started to turn. And Judas didn't cultivate his relationship with Jesus like the others did. And I think that is really the core of where Judas went wrong. Because when you don't have a relationship with Jesus, when his voice isn't in your heart, it's hard to make good choices. And so the lesson for us this morning, as we move into these holy days, and you've heard me say it probably more times than you'd like, but you've heard me say over and over to you guys, build your friendship, your relationship with Jesus, because it will be the most important thing for you, especially as you get older. And if you don't, you can see what happened to Judas. He was tempted to make bad choices, and he didn't have Jesus in his heart to help him say no to those things. That's really the most important thing as we go through these next few days. Build your friendship with Jesus. As you know, all he wants is to be friends with you. That's why he died on the cross, and that's why he rose from the dead. He didn't do it just for some of us or because he felt like it. He did it out of love for all of us. And so these next few days, spend time with Jesus in the garden on Holy Thursday. Be with him and pray with him. Be there at the foot of the cross with Mary and John. And then, of course, be there to rejoice on Easter morning when you come running to the empty tomb with all the disciples. Now, I know a lot of you guys are going on vacation for Easter break, right? Florida and Mexico and all these fun places. Does anyone want to take Father and Dennis and I with them? Anyone? Hey, hands went up. All right. Pretty good. Not so bad. No, we have to be here. But amidst all the fun, amidst looking for the Easter bunny and the Easter baskets and the egg hunts and all those great things that go along with Easter, those are all awesome things. The time spent with family. Make sure to spend time with Jesus, especially during these days. Make sure to get to church on Easter, of course. But if you can, ask your folks to take you to Holy Thursday, to Good Friday. Maybe go with a friend. These are some of the most beautiful liturgies of the entire year. And this is how we can really journey with Jesus from the time of his arrest all the way to the glory of the resurrection. If you take anything away from this homily, from Lent, from Easter, I want you to take away this one word, love. Now, we use the word love a lot. You know, we love our phones and different foods and cars and toys and all these different things. But when it comes to God, his love is beyond anything we can imagine. Because think about it. Our friend, our brother Jesus, a perfect and sinless man, is going to die on a cross so that we can be in relationship with him. He's given us the opportunity and the gift. We have to say yes to it. And we say yes to it when we pray, when we come to church, when we make use of the sacraments, all those good things. So your Lent up to this point might have been great. I hope it was. Maybe it was kind of so-so and you didn't hold to some of your promises like you would have liked. And that's okay. Because today, this moment, just like every day, is a new opportunity. And especially with the Triduum coming up, it's a chance once again to devote yourselves more and more to Jesus, to be with him in the garden, at the cross, and at the tomb. All of that because God loves us more than anything we can possibly imagine. So let's love him in return. My prayer for all of you is that as you travel, you have safe travels, you enjoy time with friends, and with family. Know that Father Dennis and I and the parish and the school and your teachers, Mrs. We're all going to be praying for you. Because we always pray for each other anyway. But especially at times, special times of the year like this. So know that. Remember to pray for us too. But most of all, I hope that all of us can come back from Easter break rejoicing with the light of the risen Jesus in our hearts, having gone to the empty tomb, and knowing that he has been raised from the dead out of love for all of us.